Open your Bible to a familiar passage tonight, and as I always say, it's a little nervous for a pastor when you say open your Bible to a familiar passage. And tonight I bring you nothing new, but an old story that we need to be reminded of occasionally, and some lessons to be learned from David and Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to read 11 verses 40 through 51. I'll refer to other verses, but I'll read verse 40 through verse 51. You know the story. I was thinking this afternoon that there we go to Israel. Sometimes the last place we go is the Valley of Elah. We come out of Bethlehem, turn left, go down the mountain into the Valley of Elah, stop, pick up some rocks, and sing Only a Boy Named David, talk about David and Goliath and how to kill giants, and then get back on the bus and go have a farewell dinner and go get on the airplane and sit there for 9, 10, 11 hours. But great memories. Verse 40. He took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David. And the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about him and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? He saw the stick, but he didn't see the sling. The Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, and you even have somebody else carrying that for you. He didn't say that, but it's true. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the enemy, toward the enemy army, to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. Now, I want you to get that picture. The stone hits him and he falls forward. You'd think he'd fall backward. But the stone hits him and he falls forward. That meant he was coming at David too. He had some momentum going forward. Whenever he went down forward. So David prevailed, verse 50, over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Three things about David, very obvious and very simple, but I wanted to help you have victory in every area of your life and go out to battle for God and win victories for God against vast opposition. First of all, I want you to see David's preparation. It was humble duty that prepared David for this encounter. It was not an encounter that David anticipated. It's not something that he said, one of these days, I'm going to have to fight a giant. And if I'm going to fight a giant, I'm going to come around and be victorious over that giant, this is what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to learn how to use a sling. I'm going to have to know how to pick the right rock and how to wind that thing up, how to release it just at the right time. And I'm going to have to be deadly accurate with that thing because I'm going to fight a giant one of these days. He didn't do that. He didn't have that in mind. He simply prepared by, like a kid would do. Like a kid would do out on the hillside throwing rocks at cans. His preparation in shepherding, his preparation in learning how to sling that rock and pick off things that were coming against the sheep in the flock, he learned how to do that. He was not a noticeable fellow. Now, he was probably very admired by his dad. He was probably coddled by his mother to some extent, because he had to have been a cute baby. Did you ever see a baby that wasn't cute? He had to have been a cute baby. He was the youngest of the eight. And he was her little boy. And he was out tending sheep. It had fallen his lot to tend the sheep. Now, this is something that was passed down from the older ones, you know that, and it was not strong duty, it was not that had a lot of responsibility. But he took it seriously. Whenever he was given that responsibility, he took that responsibility as his. He took it from his dad, and he did not betray his dad's trust when his dad gave him that responsibility. So it was humble duty that prepared David for this account. I want you to know also, his preparation was done in secret. Nobody came out and watched him kill the bear. Nobody came out and watched him kill the lion. Mama didn't even come out and say, "Whoa, good job, David. Woo, way to go, son, you're the best." Didn't do that. It was in secret. Nobody saw it. It was done simply between him and his own character before the Lord as faithful to his dad. Now at this time in his life, his responsibilities in the field with the sheep was not a thing that he looked at. I don't think he looked at it as a thing he was doing for God. This is a thing he was doing for his daddy. This is his responsibility in the home. Young people, do not miss your responsibility in the home. Don't miss that. Don't bypass that. There's a preparation there that you need. And understand this. Private faithfulness always precedes public usefulness. Private faithfulness precedes public usefulness. I want you to know in this preparation and in this time of preparation, though it was humble duty and though it was in secret, he always went above that that was required. He never looked at this thing of what can I do and get by with it. Now, I tell you again, as I have said so often to you, no one, I don't think his dad would have faulted him. I don't even think his older brothers who didn't care much for him. Older siblings don't care much for younger siblings many times. I experienced that in my life, you know, and poor little me. I had such a hard time. But I don't think they would have faulted him if he'd have let the bear have a lamb. I don't think they'd have said, oh, David, why did you do that? If he'd have let the lion carry the bear off. I don't think they'd have faulted him for that. I don't think his dad expected him to take on a bear or take on a lion in defense of the flock. Now, I think his dad expected him to be alert. I think his dad expected him to be attentive to what was needed to be taken care of. But I don't think if that lion, that bear got a lamb, I don't think his dad expected him to one-on-one with a bear and one-on-one with a lion to go with them to get that lamb. I don't think he did. Now, I could be wrong about that, but I certainly don't think so. He always went above the requirements. Young people, whenever you have to take out the trash, take it out carefully. Don't drop things along the way. If you do drop something, pick it up and put it back in the bag. And whenever you get inside, put a new plastic bag down in the garbage can. Go above and beyond. That's your responsibility. If you're told to make up your bed and straighten up your closet, if you can find it. Go above and beyond. It will stand you well, not only in the home, it will stand you well at work. If you'll go above and beyond the responsibilities. Don't be like the fella that came to work and he's late every day. Every day he was late and he just started the job. And the first day on the job he came in late. Next day he came in late. Next day he came in late. And finally after the first week the boss went to him. He said, son, do you know what time we go to work around here? He said, no sir, y'all already working whenever I get here. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Go above. Go above and beyond the minimum requirements. Oh, wouldn't it be good if we did that for the Lord also? That was not only a work of faith, but it was a labor of love. That went beyond that was expected. Now, I'm not very much of a homebody. And I do not take well to housework. And, you know, if I put my dishes in the sink, that's an amazing thing. But to load the dishwasher, that just really goes a little bit beyond. You know, I make up the bed, but I'm going to tell you what, changing the sheets is out of my, it's out of my level. That's a whole nother level for me. Becky had gone to work out, and I was still at the house a couple of weeks ago, and she came into the house, and she walked through the house. She came back in. She said, what's going on? I had changed the bed. I mean, I had done that thing. Are you proud of me, Dave? Go for it, man. You do it every week. All right, good. You better. She's out making you a living, man. You better. Go above and beyond. Isn't it refreshing whenever somebody does that? Now, there's a lot of physical preparation in that I've talked about. But also, there was spiritual preparation in that. I mean, when David came to the Valley of Elah, and whenever he went in before Saul, and he said, I take care of that guy. I can handle it. I mean, I killed a bear and I killed a lion who was coming after my daddy's sheep. I can take care of that uncircumcised Philistine. I can do that. And Saul said, what gives you qualification? He said, the Lord will help me. Whenever he went into the valley, and the giant came out there, it was not the first time he had ever thought about the reputation of God. It was not the first time he had thought about the difference between idols and the one true God. It was not the first time that had ever occurred to him. He had meditated on those things. He had thought on those things. Whenever he said, I want the world to know that there's a God in Israel, it didn't occur to him there in the valley. He had thought about that before. Whenever he said that statement that is quoted in the New Testament, referred to in the New Testament, and in other places we talk about so much, that the battle is the Lord's. That didn't just occur to him there. He had thought about that before. He had thought about winning victories for God. There was spiritual preparation along with that physical preparation. I don't know, and we do not know when the 23rd Psalm was written. But I'd like to think it was written by a young shepherd boy. Before he ever came to prominence, before he ever fought Goliath. And if he wrote it as a shepherd boy, he had to write it before he fought Goliath, because he never went back to the sheep after that. He never went back to shepherding after that. His flock was much enlarged after that. And it was a human flock after that, because he never went back to the sheep. But I'd like to think that that 23rd Psalm, whenever he thought there on that hillside outside Bethlehem, there in the hillsides of Judea, that he said, the Lord, oh, the Lord Jehovah, Jehovah is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And he had that relationship with the Lord that whenever he went into the valley and this giant looked at him and said, I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. He said, I'm going to take your head off and feed the whole flock of you guys, all the Philistines, to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. He said, I'm going to take care of all of you, that all the world will know there's a God. Now, how do you get that kind of confidence? Now, I want you to know this wasn't a cocky kid out there running off the mouth. This was a young man who had been with God. This is a young man who had made preparation. This is a young man who had stayed with it and gone above and beyond the call of duty. And he said, God's going to take care of this. How long has it been since you got yourself into something? You just said something. I mean, whenever the giant came out and David's there on the hillside and he hears him call, come, bring out one of your men, let him fight me. And if I win, you'll serve us. If you win, we'll serve you. And all like this, and he makes all those. And David said, why doesn't somebody go fight him? Somebody go fight him. I can't go on without saying they all said we don't feel led to. But whenever he said that, he didn't say, let me pray about this. Let me pray about this. He had his praying done before then. There's just sometimes you get yourself into something and you're just into it. I mean, you're in the middle of it. But do you know, if God gives you a watch, you don't have to ask God what time it is. Does that make sense? If God gives you a watch, he expects you to look at your watch. No wise comments about how long the preacher preaches right there, okay? No wise comments about that. I can see the wheels turning in your mind. There's some things that you just get into. And sometimes you just say things. And he said, I'll fight him. And boy, the word starts getting around. And all of a sudden, he's in before Saul. But no place do we find him saying, oh my, what did I get myself into? No, he went with full confidence all the way because of his preparation. Second thing I come to is this, David's power. David's power. Now, his power certainly was not in his equipment. And whenever Saul gave him armor, he said, no, he said, I can't do this. I haven't proved this. I don't know how to work this. I don't know how this functions. I'm not comfortable with this. This doesn't work for me. I've got to use what is comfortable, what God has blessed, and what God has used in my life already. Now, sometimes we need to make some changes. And there's nothing wrong with making changes. But if they're right, there's nothing unscriptural and there's nothing forbidden in Scripture or anything like that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But it's not some piece of equipment that gives you the power of God on your life. It's we do things, you know. We buy things. And I'm for buying good things that are helpful things. But sometimes you think, if I get this soul winner's New Testament, I'll be a soul winner. Just like that. I'll be a soul winner. No, no. Now, I'm for having a good soul winner's New Testament or whatever you have. I'm for that. I'm for all that. But just having that in your hand, that's not going to make you a soul winner. The equipment's not going to do it. His power was not in his equipment. Sometimes we think, if I can just get this, boy, you know, if I could get this set of tapes, or if I could go to this seminar, or something. Now that's all good, and that's all fine, and that's wonderful if you can do that, that's fine. But that's not the thing you need. That's not where his power was. His power was somewhere else. It was not in his physical strength. Here's a kid. Saul said to him, he said, young man, he said, you're not able. You're just a kid. You're a youth, and this man is a man of war from his youth. He's been at this thing a long time. He knows how to do this. He knows how to fight. He knows how to attack. He knows how to defend. He knows all those things. He knows how to use the equipment. It was not in physical strength. It was certainly not in his position. Sometimes people think that if I just, if I had a position in the church, then I'd win souls. If I had this position in the church, I'd win souls. Or if I had this position and I were in place of responsibility. No, that's not it at all. It's not in position. That wasn't David's position. It wasn't even in his preparation. His power. Now, preparation was important. Preparation was good, but his preparation was not done with this in mind. Now, there's nothing wrong with preparing for something that God has laid before you that he wants you to do, particularly in the matter of serving him in special areas or something like that. Nothing wrong with that. But his power was not in his preparation. Some people think, you know, if I just go to Bible college and I sit in the classroom and I listen to Bible teachers and I go through these courses and everything, oh, boy, that'll do it. No, your power's not there. Now, that's good and that's fine, but that's not the power. That's not where it is at all. His power was in the fact that he was linked to an omnipotent God. Verse 47, that this assembly may know that the Lord saveth. Now he said, I'm here and I'm looking at you. And everybody looking down here in this valley, everybody on the Israel side, everybody on the Philistine side, everybody to the man, everyone said, that kid's a goner. I mean, that's the end of him. What a fool. What is he doing down there? And I've often wondered this. How in the world could Saul let him go? What's he doing down there? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, I don't know how good David was. I'm sure he had practiced with that sling. I'm sure he had worked that thing, and I'm sure whenever he started at that giant, that he threw his very best shot at it. But I don't know whether it was a very good shot or not. I don't know if it was strong enough or not. But I know that God made it hit the right place and God made it strong enough. God did that. God did that. Now, what is there in principle is stated clearly in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, what was he doing in that valley? He was doing that thing through Christ, who strengthened him. It was not by might nor by power, but it was by the Spirit. It was his spiritual preparation. His power was there. Now, we've looked at his preparation, we've looked at his power. I want you to see his performance. David's performance. It was not what you would think of David. As I said just a moment ago, nobody there thought David could do it. But it is exactly what you would expect God to do. Do you know that God would have done that for anyone that trusted him, that believed him, that stepped out on faith as David did? David didn't step out in self-confidence. David stepped out in faith. David didn't say, I'm good, I can tell you, I can handle this. Now, he said that, but he didn't say that in his own strength or in his own power. There was no egotism about that, because he knew that when he went in that valley to face that giant, there was someone going with him. Old story about a preacher. The service had started and they were singing. And it came time for the preacher. And he wasn't on the pulpit. And they sang another song and he still wasn't there. And the song leader told his little boy, he said, son, go back and check on the preacher and see if he's coming out. The little boy went back there, and he stood beside the door where the old preacher was. And the old preacher said, oh, God, you got to go with me. I'm going to go out there and preach. I'm going to go out and stand before people. I'm going to open your book, and I'm going to give your word, and I want you to go with me. Lord, you've got to go with me. I'm going to go, Lord, but I can't go on my own. You've got to go with me. And I mean, he was pouring out his heart to God. The little boy came back out, and his dad says, yes. He says, is he coming? He said, yeah, and when he does, that other one's coming with him too. Yeah, whenever David went into the valley, he knew somebody else was going with him. It was just what you would expect of God. Now, you wouldn't expect that of David, but you would expect that of God. Not only was it exactly what you would expect God to do, but it was exactly what David, now watch this, it was exactly what David believed God would do. Where is your faith, old brother? Where is your faith? It was exactly what he believed he would do. I mean, David was not surprised at all when that giant hit the ground. He was not surprised. It was exactly what he expected to happen. It was exactly what he expected God to do. Whenever he stood before that giant and he said, "You come to me with a sword and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel." And today, I'm going to take your head from your shoulders. Well, he didn't have a sword. Only thing he had was a sling. I don't think he anticipated knocking the guy's head off with a sling. But whenever he stood on that giant and took that giant's sword and cut his head off, it was exactly what he believed God would do. What do you believe God will do with you? What do you believe God will do for you? What do you believe God will do through you? Matthew chapter 9, verse 49 says, as your faith is, so be it unto you. So I just don't believe God will do this. That's exactly right. You just don't believe God will do this. I just don't believe I can. I just don't believe. 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 Now, what David accomplished is what God wants to accomplish in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about taking on ISIS. I'm not talking about doing that. I'm talking about something bigger than that. I'm talking about taking on the forces of evil. The gates of hell, Jesus said, will not be able to stand. They will not prevail. They'll not be able to stand against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Empowered by God, moving forward for God. David and Goliath, David's preparation, David's power, and David's performance. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling. I mean, it's like the Lord in with the translator here, the Authorized Version. It's like he's outlining a sermon here. Prevailed with a sling, a stone. He smote and slew him. He's got all S's. He got four S's right down through there. He got it all 4 points with S's right down through there. And Philistines saw that their champion was dead. They fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines till they came to the valley and the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down on the way to Shearim, even unto Gath, unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, spoiled their tents. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in the tent. Now, I don't know all these things. It's not part of the sermon. But it's interesting that he took the head of Goliath to Jerusalem. The capital was not Jerusalem at that time. That's not where Saul's throne was. It's not where it was. It was at Ramah. It's not where the tabernacle was. Tabernacle was at Shiloh. And it was not in that place, but David went to Jerusalem. And something bound his heart to Jerusalem in those days whenever, you know, it was not the place. But my question to you is, what are you willing to try for God? What are you willing to try for God?